Well, I want to take you back to the Psalms this morning. We were there last week, and I want to take you back to the Psalms again today, because when I find myself talking to people that are going through a variety of difficulties or sorrow or just different trials, I often suggest to them that they just spend time in the Psalms. And the reason for that is that so often the psalmist is awfully transparent with us in his own struggles and in the questions that he has, and really dealing with all of that with a lot of raw emotion. And so as you read the Psalms, you obviously can relate to a lot of those things that you're going to read, and you probably will come to the conclusion of, man, that's exactly how I feel. And so you could say that the Psalms often relate to where we are in life. The other thing I love about the Psalms is how the author eventually finds perspective again and finds peace and finds hope in the midst of the struggles that he's facing by seeing the bigness and the faithfulness of God. And really the same can be true for us. As we encounter who God is and as we realize that God cares about us and he cares about the struggles that we're going through, as 1 Peter 5:7 reminds us to cast all of our cares on him because he cares for you. And as we realize that about God, we begin to trust him more and we begin to experience his power in our lives in a way that will really overshadow the circumstances that we're facing. And so as we consider Psalm 27 this morning, which is the psalm I want to look at, we're reminded of how God can bring comfort and really help us remain confident in him in the midst of fear. And fear is just one of those emotions, I think, that all of us wrestle with to one degree or another. And I think, especially as we look around us in these days, there's really a spirit of fear that is going on. As you watch the news, as you watch people buy everything in the store, you know, a lot of that's out of fear. And so maybe fear is something that you're facing in these days of uncertainty. And this Psalm 27, is a psalm that really addresses the issue of fear. And so I want to read it and then make some comments about it. Psalm 27, beginning in verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Or when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, 'Seek my face.' My heart says to you, 'Your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." Now, what exactly is fear, and where does it come from, and really, what does it do to me? Well, I think, first of all, fear, we have to realize, is not always a bad thing. It can be a good thing because it often alerts us to danger, which ultimately protects us. I found myself driving home this week in the evening one night, and a few deer decided to put a little fear in me and cross the road as I was getting near to them. And so out of fear, I hit the brakes quickly to actually spare the front end of my vehicle. As parents, we try to put a healthy fear in our children. I know we did that as our children were younger, as it related to a road that was very close to our house, as it related to having a fire outside, or as it related to the lake. But at the same time, that fear can also become unhealthy in that maybe one never goes on the road for a bike ride, or never swims in the lake, or never enjoys the warmth of the fire. And so we have to realize that fear can rob us of something good. And that's the kind of fear we're talking about here, what I want to address in this psalm, a fear that keeps us from enjoying life, a fear that paralyzes people or imprisons people from seeing and experiencing the joy of the Lord. And really, all that God's intended for us, all that God wants to do in our lives, how God wants to use us. Now, where does this wrong kind of fear come from? Well, sinful fear comes from a sinful world that has rebelled against God. And we live in a sinful world where we experience sickness, where we experience, obviously, death and things like terrorism and natural disasters and viruses, obviously, accidents, things like that. And when we see all of that bad stuff, we don't want any of that bad stuff to happen to us or those we love. And so as much as we try to control our circumstances to prevent that bad stuff, we realize that so much of our life is really out of our control. And because of that, we often resort to fear. So what do you fear? We all have fears. You can go on your computer and Google fear or phobias. I did that, and I actually surprisingly discovered how many phobias or fears people actually have. Let me just throw out some samples to you. You'll know some of these, obviously. But first of all, there's acrophobia, which is the fear of high places. There is agoraphobia, which is the fear of open places. There's claustrophobia, which is the fear of closed places. There's monophobia, which is the fear of being alone. There's nyctophobia, which is the fear of darkness. There's pactophobia, which is the fear of disease. There's xenophobia, which is the fear of the unknown. There's zoophobia, which is the fear of animals. There's mysophobia, which is the fear of dirt or germs. I'm assuming that fear is on the rise. There is brontophobia, the fear of lightning and thunder. There's aviophobia, the fear of flying. There's, of course, acrophobia, the fear of, you guessed it, spiders. Okay, and maybe a few more that you might be interested in. There is one called nephophobia, which is the fear of clouds. Okay, Michigan probably isn't a good place to live if you fear clouds. There is phagophobia, which is the fear of being eaten. And hopefully you've never had to have that fear be an issue. But as it relates to other fears, maybe that we can relate to a little bit better, that are maybe a little closer to home, would be things like the fear of not measuring up, or the fear of failing at something, or the fear of our health or losing our health, or the fear of maybe never getting married, or the fear of financial loss, or the fear of losing someone or something happening to our children, the fear of making a wrong decision, maybe the fear of our past and what others might think of us if they knew about our past. Maybe the fear of just not saying the right thing. And perhaps fear has gripped you in these last number of weeks as it relates to the unusual circumstances that we find ourselves in. It may cause you to fear your financial situation. It may cause you to fear your job status or your family members getting sick or just simply the unknowns about the future. Okay, those are all very real reasons that people fear. Now, as you come to Psalm 27, what we find here is David, though his circumstances were different than ours, he still faces this battle between faith and fear. Most scholars agree that this psalm was written before David was anointed as king, okay, and at a time that was likely where he was being hunted down by Saul and his men because Saul considered David a threat to his throne. And so for David, he was probably wandering in the wilderness just simply trying to stay alive. Okay, so if anybody had reason for fear, it was David. And it wasn't about the fact that his microwave broke or some trivial thing like that. I mean, he's being hunted by his own people. His life was almost always at risk. And actually, as you read through the Psalms, they're actually filled with the testimony of the terrors that he faced day after day after day and how he dealt with those things. And so David wrestles with fear just like you and I do. And yet he was able to stare defeat and death in the face and actually conquer fear. He was seeing more than his circumstances. He was seeing something beyond his circumstances, something that gave him comfort and confidence, even when he was often close to losing everything, even his own life. He saw through the threats to a God who promised to protect him and to deliver him. Now, after reading the first few verses, you may think that David doesn't really have a problem with fear. In fact, fear seems to be absent from his life because he says, right to begin with, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Okay, and those are rhetorical questions with the obvious answer. I don't need to be afraid of anything. But it is in that statement that we see the conquering of David's fear. You see, fear is still making its attempt to overcome David. But what you find is that David's faith is overcoming his fear. But the question is how do you and I find that kind of confidence and security when life is swirling around us with all kinds of uncertainties? Well, a couple other verses in the Psalms tell us, Psalm 56, verse 3 says, "When I am afraid," okay, and it's obvious that we all become afraid at some time, it says, "I will trust in you." Later in that same chapter, in verse 11, it says, "In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" And that was really the testimony of David, and that's, again, the testimony of what he's saying in here in Psalm 27. And so let me point out, first of all, the prize of David's faith. That's the first point here in these first few verses. And what you read here, in particular verses 1 through 3, again, is a testimony of his faith. And what he says in verse 1 is really foundational to really everything else that he says, because, again, let me repeat verse 1, where he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." So as a result of that, he brings up the question, "Whom shall I fear?" Now, a couple important words that he uses here. One is light. He refers to God as light. Okay, light is obviously something that removes darkness. The word salvation literally means deliverance. And so what David is describing here is his saving relationship with God. Okay, and it's a very personal statement of confidence because he says, "The Lord is my light." He says, "The Lord is my salvation." Okay, God is not some nebulous being out there. Okay, he's a personal God who knows my personal needs and personally lives within me as a believer. And so our relationship with God and our salvation is foundational to everything else because through Christ, we've been delivered from the grip and from the darkness of sin and the ultimate fear, which is the enemy of eternal death. And so what David is saying here is, let's just make something clear right off the bat. He's saying, "I'm on the winning team." He says, "Sure, I'm going to face all kinds of fears and hardship in my life, but I can still see the big picture in the midst of it." See, the light of who God is significantly greater than any darkness that you and I face. Listen to the way that Paul put it in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. He said, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" In other words, if God can save me, God will surely take care of me, even in the midst of my struggles or fears. Okay, that is a big picture statement by Paul. In other words, if God is on my side, I don't have to fear. And that's what David goes on to say in the psalm. He says, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Okay, and it's not some outside source that God is giving us. It's the fact that he's giving us himself. And so to know him and to trust him is to experience the strength that David is talking about. If you and I don't know that we're on the winning team, guess what? We're eventually going to give up. We're eventually going to stop fighting. We're eventually going to settle for defeat, and we will become a prisoner to our own fear. But 2 Timothy chapter 1 reminds us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. David goes on to say in verse 2, he says, "When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though a war break out against me, even then will I be confident." So this is not just theory to David. His confidence was actually battle-tested. And if you think back on David's life, God rescued David from a lion. He rescued David from a bear. He rescued David from Goliath. And so David is remembering God's faithfulness. And so in order to see our faith win the battle over fear, our faith cannot merely be theoretical, where I know in my head that God is bigger than my fears, but where I'm actually confident and where I'm trusting him because of who he is and the fact that my righteous standing before him is because of what Christ has done in my life. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 1 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine." Now, you may know full well this morning that you need to trust the Lord more as it relates to your own fears, but maybe the question is, how do I do that? What does trust look like for me as a believer? Well, that's where in the remaining part of this passage, I want you to see, secondly, the practice of David's faith, and really the secrets behind his faith and why he had so much confidence in God. Three things I want you to note here. First of all, what you see is David pursuing the presence of God. Verse 4 says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek." Now let me just stop there a second and ask you the question, how would you finish that sentence? All right? "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek." It is, could it be, to maybe have a successful career? Maybe it's to retire with plenty of money. Maybe it's to be married. Maybe it's to have a new car. Maybe it's to have recognition of who I am and what I do and those kinds of things. But you fill in the blank. One thing I seek, what would that one thing be? Listen to what David says. This is how he answers the question. "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." And so the primary, undivided, greatest affection in David's life was to be near to God. He wanted to have communion with God. He wanted to be in his presence. He desired to worship God. The phrase used there, the beauty of the Lord, refers to the glory of God's character and the richness of his grace. And so what this means is that the more time you spend with God, the more you're going to discover who God is. And the more you discover who God is, the more you're going to put your confidence in him. And the more you put your confidence in him, the less fear becomes a threat to you. And so the key to David's public confidence was really his private obedience. He took time to spend with the Lord to discover his will and to obtain his wisdom. If you're going to win the battle over your fears, you have to spend time with your commander-in-chief, who is Jesus Christ. And so the more time I spend pursuing the presence of God and spending time in his word and grasping the truths of who he is and discovering all of his promises and remembering his power in my life and his victory over the cross, the less fear will affect you and me. And so the main reason people have a hard time trusting God is simply because they don't know God. They don't know him as they should. They spend minimal time with him. Maybe they just come to church on Sunday and that's their only exposure to the Word of God. And yet, we're reminded in James chapter 4, verse 8, that says, "Come near to God and he will come near to you." If you go down further here in verse 5 and 6 of Psalm 27, it says, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble." So again, he's speaking with confidence of what God is going to do for him. He says, "He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." Okay, that is a statement of great confidence. But he does it because he makes that statement because he is pursuing the very presence of God. The second thing I want you to notice that he does here is that he earnestly is praying to God. So let me ask you something. What do you do when you're bombarded with fear? Okay, do you run? Do you avoid talking about it? Do you dwell on it? Do you find yourself waking up in the middle of the night and that's all you're thinking about? Do you deny it? Do you try to stay busy so you don't have to think about it? Or I guess the other question is, do you pray about it? David confronted his fear head on by praying about it. And that's what you find here, beginning in verse 7, going through verse 12. Just listen to the prayer. He says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, 'Seek my face.' My heart says to you, 'Your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. Oh, you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence." Now, there's obviously a lot of things we could say about this prayer, and we don't have time to do that today, but I just want you to note that David is just humbly pouring out his heart to God. Okay? He's claiming God's promises. He's acknowledging God's power and his holiness. He's praying for God to sanctify him and to teach him and to help him in time of need. Okay, that's what prayer is. It's just honestly pouring our hearts out to God. Prayer is activating our faith. Because if we believe that God is greater than our fears and he promises in his power to help us overcome our fears, then we must actively and earnestly claim those promises through prayer. Prayer is taking your eyes off of the circumstances that are activating fear in your life and putting them on Christ. I have often shared these verses, and I guess these are kind of my go-to verses when I face times of fear and anxiety. And that passage for me is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And it says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make all of your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And I have to say, as I've claimed those verses and prayed those verses back to the Lord, I guess with the expectation that he will fulfill those promises in my life, I have always found that God has faithfully fulfilled those promises, and he's given me a surpassing mind, I guess, that or is overwhelming with his peace that's helped guard my mind and my heart from the issue of fear and the anxieties that I face. And so God is faithful, and so we need to pray through those times of fear as David did. And then the third thing I want you to see is that David patiently waited on God in verses 13 and 14. How often do we try to get ahead of God? I think we do, don't we, at times, where we panic and maybe we feel like we're losing control of a situation. That's where fear begins to sneak in. But notice what David says here, verse 13. He says, I believe, so this is kind of, a statement of confidence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. All right? So, in other words, he knows in the end that God will take care of everything. He's confident of that. And so his concluding statement then is, verse 14, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord! Exclamation point. All right, so David had prayed, and now he is waiting on God and waiting on God's providence. He's waiting on God's perfect timing to act according to his good purposes. And so waiting on God is really the great trust or the great test of trust. And that's not, you know, it's by saying that, that's not some trite way of saying, you know, oh, well, just trust God and your problems will go away. Now, Scripture's not unrealistic. I mean, Scripture lays out the battle between faith and fear, and that they're at odds with each other, that they're in conflict with each other, and the fact that we're constantly battling it out and wrestling with those realities. And so this is not saying it's some easy thing to overcome your fear, but what it is saying is that you can overcome your fear. But clearly, God is the answer to that, because only God can help us overcome our fear. Because what else can we trust? What else is more powerful than the circumstances that feed our fears? Well, surely it's not enough money, there's not enough information or intellect, or there's not enough medication that will give us the confidence that David clearly testifies to in the psalm. It is God. And so we need to rest on the foundation of our faith. It's really where we need to go when we face fear. The foundation of our faith being that we're a child of God. And if you're not a child of God and you're watching this today, you can become a child of God by placing your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and for eternal life. And see, it's that relationship that gives us tremendous security and confidence, even when things seem to be unraveling around us. But also, we need to practice our faith. We can't just claim our faith and solely hold on to that. We also need to practice our faith by pursuing the presence of God, by earnestly praying to God, and by waiting patiently on God. It's a daily battle, and so I need to be active in those things on a daily basis. Don't somehow think that, well, you know what, I've been saved for 10, 20, 30 years, and that, you know, that's not stuff I really need to deal with. Well, that's not the case, because at the point of salvation, that was really only the beginning of the journey. And yes, we know who wins in the end, but I am still called to live by faith every day. And David has given us a beautiful example of what that looks like. I think just the fact that you and I continue to face fear is a daily reminder that you and I need to continue to put our faith in God. The only antidote to fear is faith in God. And so may our trials, may our fears, I guess that would be my prayer for you, is that those things would cause you to trust him more, to the point that you could give the same testimony as David did in the psalm. That, you know what? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord has been my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word today, and we thank you for the example of David and his life and the fears that he faced, and yet, Lord, the strength of his faith in you and your faithfulness to him. I pray, God, that you would strengthen our faith today, that you would help us to trust you, that you would help us to keep our eyes on you instead of the circumstances that are feeding our fears, and that we would be a testimony and an example to those around us that are maybe walking around in fear. Lord, may our confidence grow in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.